We continue our series of sermons based on the book of James, and James is, for all intents and purposes, wisdom literature or just a very practical book out of the Bible, helping us to see how it is that we can and should and ought to live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. And we step today into one of the more challenging aspects of what James is helping us to see about how it is that we live our lives. And so we turn our attention to the third chapter of James, beginning with the first verse. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse others who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. There's an apocryphal old story that has been around for years. It's the story of a young preacher in a small country church back out in the woods. And this preacher, in his first year there, was still kind of learning how to do things. Well, after first month or so, a group of ladies from the Ladies' Aid Society went up to him and they said, "Reverend, we need to talk with you." He says, "Well, certainly, I'd be happy to talk with you." Said, "Reverend, you're not hard enough. Reverend, you're not hitting hard on all the sins that are out there. You need to hit harder in your preaching." Well, he thought about it and he thought, "Well, maybe with their encouragement, I could do some more challenging preaching." So the first week he got up there and he got into the pulpit and he started preaching against the evils of alcohol. And as he was going on, the Ladies Aid Society was going, "Amen, preacher brother, preach it, amen." And he was getting very excited and just very much into it. And so he was enthused by that. And the next week he thought, "Well, I'll take on the evils of tobacco." And he preached on the evils of tobacco. And the Ladies' Aid Society was going, "Preacher, brother, preach it. Amen, amen." And he was getting more and more excited about it. And the third week he was going to preach on the evils of movies. And so he's preaching on the evils of going to movies, and they're going, "Amen, preacher brother, amen." And they were getting very excited, and he was getting very excited. Well, then he preached the next week. He decided he would preach against the evils of gossip, and he just went down hard on gossip.
and not a peep from the Ladies' Aid Society. Well, after the worship service, the Ladies' Aid Society came up and they said, "Reverend, we need to talk with you." He says, "Sure, what is it?" He said, "Reverend, you've gone from preaching to meddling." Well, James has kind of gone from preaching to meddling. Because how we speak, the words that we use, the attitude with which we speak, oftentimes betrays who we claim to be. I think James, in this section, is probably offering us some of the most challenging and most difficult words ever given, calling us to tame our tongues. I know the old saying is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But we know that that's not really true, is it? All of us, if we sit back and we think a little bit, can remember things that others have said to us that still sting, that still hurt us, that still gnaw at us a little bit. Because words have power. They have power and ability to do good. When we say something kind to somebody, when we offer a word of encouragement to somebody, when we express our love towards somebody, those words that we use have the power to build up and to encourage and to elevate the person that we're talking to. But when we use words that are harsh or demeaning or dismissive, those words cause pain. They cause anguish to the hearer. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, tells us that we ought to speak the truth. But he cautions us that when we do speak the truth, that we need to speak the truth in love, to choose our words carefully, so that if somebody needs to be reprimanded or somebody needs to be corrected, that we don't destroy the person in the act of trying to restore them. That we need to do it in a loving and gracious and kind manner. Now, this isn't just about, I know, you know, James is talking about speech, but in our day and age, I think that the way that we use words in writing as well can be so destructive and so harmful. It doesn't take you but 5 minutes on the internet, Facebook or Twitter or some other place to see how words can be so harmful and so destructive. Maybe what they're saying is absolutely right. Maybe they are spot on with what they are trying to say. But if the words that they use are destructive, then as right as they may be, they've gained nothing and may have lost everything. It's hard. It's hard to use our words well and wisely. It's hard to use them always in a manner that is uplifting and encouraging and builds up. But that's what we're called to do. As Christians, we are called to love one another. We're called to love our enemies. We are called to be a people who reflect the fact that the God of love dwells within us. And if our words are destructive, if our words are unkind or untrue or demeaning or dismissive, then nobody is going to experience that love of God through our lives. James tries to help us to see that though words are small and oftentimes seem insignificant, they can change the course of things. A well-chosen, loving, and gracious word can turn someone's life around. A poorly chosen word spoken in anger or in a spirit of meanness can just as easily destroy another person. James tells us that you and I need to be able to tame our tongues. For out of the same mouth there cannot come both cursing and praise. Let us use our words wisely and carefully, whether in speaking or in writing, whether in person or across the internet. Let us always choose our words wisely and well, so that the love of God might be seen in and through all that we say at all times. Let's pray. Almighty and ever gracious God, we have fallen short of being the people that you have called us to be. We have used words in a destructive manner. We have spoken unkindly. We have not shown your love through all that we say and all that we write. Help us, O Lord, to tame our tongues so that your love flows through us in all that we speak and in all that we write. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.